Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
And welcome, everybody, to the 790th episode of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Jeez. Already?
Yeah. No. All eyes, everybody, on Korea.
Oh, absolutely.
Both North and South. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of action going on. Apparently, North Korea closed out South Korea to a shared property last night.
That's right, an industrial complex.
Very, very bad news, and we want to have comment on this. So please welcome to our microphone South Korean Ambassador Kim Suk.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Kim.
You.
Now, you're from South Korea?
I'm from the south of Korea.
Very nice.
Yeah. A lot of people have been talking about our country for a number of days now, what with the war of northern aggression knocking on our doorstep,
sure, you see. Bad times, you see.
Yes, you see. We're having a problem with Kim Jong-un Jing. You know, they got so many of them syllables up there, it's tough to keep track.
Question for you.
Kim Jong-un, as opposed to his daddy, Kim Jong-il, and his daddy's daddy, Kim Song. I forgot that.
Were things better under his dad, Kim Jong-il?
Kim Jong-un's daddy
was
his daddy.
Oh, his father.
His daddy was a problem.
Yeah.
His daddy's daddy was a problem. And his daddy's daddy's daddy was a problem. And, you know, when you have to deal with all that, it's very difficult for us in the South. We have our traditions that we have upheld, and we do not like people from the North. No Yankee's going to dictate balazame to us, anyway.
What about your daddy?
My daddy is a fine man.
And your daddy before him?
My daddy was raised in the democracy of South Korea. You know, South Korea is officially the Republic of Korea, or ROK.
What is that?
Rock. You can call it the Rock.
Of course.
We're solid as a rock. Unlike our friends up north, we're often referred to as simply Korea.
That's
now,
right.
Why do you think that would be
if it
wasn't for... Well, the reason is that the North Koreans aren't really Koreans at all.
Really? What are they?
They're just northern aggressors.
Now, how about
coming down to change our ways and our traditions that we've maintained for year on year.
Have you ever been to North Korea?
I've never had the opportunity because there's a big old wall in between me and my North Korean friends.
But you've spoken
And they're not my friends any longer with that nuclear threat hanging over us like that, I'll tell you. Where's my banjo music.
Have you talked to people?
There we go, you
see. Have you talked to people that have been to North Korea?
I've talked to numbers of people who have been to North Korea.
Can you compare?
I'm sorry, that was a Freudian slip.
You see. Can you explain to me the difference in the pace of life?
Oh, yeah.
Can you parallel the pace of life south of Korea as opposed to North Korea?
In South Korea, we do things differently.
How is that?
We value our communities.
Your what?
Our communities.
Sure.
We value our friends. And we value our allies. And we make sure that we take care of our own. And we love our slow pace of life and our rolling lawns and our giant magnolia plantations.
What?
Magnolias?
Whatever. Yes?
Yeah, I was curious about Southern pride.
I understand you're going to Red China.
I am.
Well, hoop-de-de-boo. Well, good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I do hope you survive.
Southern pride, something that's important to you.
Southern pride is what the Korean Peninsula is awash in Southern pride.
Really?
But it only comes from the South. It does not come from the northern aggressors.
Why not?
With
the
their
north.
Missiles and their prison camps and their guns pointed at all of us and their demilitarized zone.
Now, the weather, you have the same weather patterns as us because you're northern hemisphere,
We have
right?
lovely summers.
And
hot
know-
and humid summers with long lanes and cartwheels.
What?
I don't know what I just meant.
With the springtime coming, you must be excited to have one of those famous South Korean barbecues.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to South. There's nothing. You can eat barbecue all over the world, but you haven't lived until you've had South Korean barbecue.
Mongolian?
But your tongue.
That's another country. But soul food. The food
soul
is soul
food.
South Korea.
And of course, it's C E
S E O U L.
S E. What is it again?
S E O U L.
S E O U L.
Soul food.
Soul food.
That's
As
right.
a matter of fact, when I visit Seoul, I do not live there, but I do visit Seoul often, and I take the train from the airport, and I get on the train, and I say, "Welcome to the Seoul."
The Soul Train. Yeah.
Now, when you live not in the city, then?
No, I live in the country.
Like,
in
a, like, how would you describe your
house? My home?
Yes.
Well, my home is a bit of a you might refer to it as a farm.
Really? Is it a big farm?
It's a huge farm.
We have a word.
We grow all sorts of things. We go kiwi fruit. And lychee nuts.
In America, we have a word for big farms.
What's
that? We
call
them plantations.
Plantations. But let me get back to the history of South Korea.
Please
do. I would love to know
more.
Oh,
by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, this is South Korean Ambassador Kim Suk.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Hi, Kim.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you all about the South. The South of Korea. Uh-huh. It's a presidential republic in East Asia. So
yes.
You know that already.
Yeah, we did.
Korea is one of the oldest civilizations in the world, with its foundation dating back to 2333 B.C.
Wow.
By the legendary Dangun.
Who?
Dangun.
Now, do you know anything about him?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Archaeological research shows the peninsula was inhabited as early as the Lower Paleolithic era.
Do you know what a peninsula is?
Yes, it is a body of land that juts out in the water. What kind of moron? How could I be the good ambassador from the South if I didn't know what I was talking about?
Colonel Suk, it sounds a little
yes,
meaty.
Thank you for referring to me by my proper title, Colonel.
Colonel, it sounds a little
thank you so much. I was major up until a few years back,
well, of course. You deserve that
yes,
promotion.
Yes, of course, yes.
But, and yet, I can't help but get the feeling you're reading to us from Wikipedia.
No, I'm not. It's another website.
I see.
It is bordered by China to the west, yes. Japan to the east,
uh-huh.
And then North Korea to the north.
Ah.
The Northern Korean aggressors.
How are your relations with Japan?
Japan's fine. I've been to Japan many times.
Really? Tell me of your adventures.
I have a geisha there.
Do you?
Oh,
yes, I do.
Wow.
Yeah, well, the traditions, so that's not what you may think.
Oh, no?
It's not prostitution, you see.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
yes,
sir.
Oscar.
What are your thoughts on General Lee?
General Lee, Kim Lee,
L-I.
Was one of the great generals in the Korean. He fought for the South for many years.
Uh-huh.
I guarantee you could probably find a Lee
I'm sure.
In the Korean. Or maybe not.
Several. No, L-I. Yeah,
there'd be L-I. Is that how you spell it?
Exactly.
Kim
yes,
Lee. Yes. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I have put a motion through the Korean legislature to name a train. After General Lee.
Mm.
Yes, the General Kim Lee. Way down in the valley.
Oh,
I don't know
in
what
old
I'm doing.
Alabama?
You know what I believe?
What's that?
I believe this bit has officially run its effing course.
Really?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Wait a minute. She said army. Of course. An army of the worst dregs ever to soil the face of the West. Taggart.
Yes, sir?
I've decided to launch an attack that will reduce Rock Ridge to ashes.
What do you want me to do, sir?
I want you to round up every vicious criminal and gunslinger in the West. Take this down. I want rustlers, cutthroats, murderers, bounty hunters, desperados, mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits, vipers, snipers, con men, Indian agents, Mexican bandits, muggers, buggerers, bushwhackers, hornswagglers, horse thieves, bull dykes, train robbers, bank robbers, ass kickers, shit kickers, and methodists!
Could you repeat that, sir?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Live from Studio 1K in the Pfeifferplex Broadcast Center, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are downloaded worldwide 17.5 million times and powered by Encore Insurance. We're at MikeO'MaraShow.com, 102.9 FM WTNT, right here in Washington, D.C., where we all live, and the mighty 1630 KCJJ in Iowa. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2013, and we are brought to you by...
Encore
Insurance Services, LLC. Those are the people who bring you this show on WTNT. Oscar had a great experience. If you'd like a free life insurance quote, visit smartterm.com. That's the website for...
Encore!
Or call...
Encore!
At 866-347-5748. They'll do all the work for you.
Encore!
We'll compare rates to help you save. Licensing and disclaimer info at smartterm.com. Let them know you appreciate them as much as we do.
Encore.
Encore Insurance Services, And we thank them in advance.
How y'all doing today?
Hi, Mike.
We got a great show for you today. This is a very special day because it is the day before we send our boy to China.
That's right.
Ni hao.
Oscar Santana is leaving tomorrow for the Far East. Yes. The Far East.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much farther without getting nearer.
Do you want to hear another blunder in the planning that is the Far East trip for Oscar and Todd?
My God.
Yes.
What did you do?
I wasn't going to talk about it because I just wanted to pile on myself.
you've been under it for anybody going this far away, and especially with your complete and utter lack of planning, you know you were going to take a little crap.
Yeah,
about
and even yesterday evening when we were hanging out, you were like, "Are you ready for the food experience? Do you know what you're going to get into?"
I'm sitting with Oscar and I had a bit of a day yesterday. He hung out, we watched Game of Thrones, and then we were sitting there, and I was quizzing him about going to China, and I said,
"Why would you stay here and put yourself through that? Once he started that, you should have backed out."
Because it was interesting, because I was showing him some interesting videos from Anthony Bourdain in Hong Kong.
Right.
And showing him, you know, hey, look what you've got. I mean, he's going to be in Hong Kong for 5 days, and he's going to be in Beijing for 5 days. Hong Kong is one of the great cities in the world, and it's got the most amazing food, arguably, on the planet.
But we've proven in the past he has, he's got a tin ear when it comes to eating.
Yeah, he doesn't care. That's why he's skinny.
That's right.
That's why he's skinny. You and I would come back like, I can't fit in. I'd like another seat extender, please.
You and I wouldn't come back.
No, it's supposed to
stay there.
It's supposed to be amazing. And the thing that I got from I'm not a world traveler. I get it from the Magic Box. And I watch Anthony Bourdain over there, and he says that it's just, you know, you can go anywhere and find opportunities for food. Obviously, you know, you don't want to eat anything you see. That might get you in trouble. But you were polite looking at it like half-heartedly because you're just going over there with your Facebook and your iPad and your technology where your technology is not going to help you one effing bit.
And, Carrie sent a message to Oscar, and I think this is very nice.
Your wonderful wife.
Yeah, talking about you going to China, she said, and she's going with Todd, and I said, she said, tell them good luck with the adoption.
They come back with a Chinese baby.
Come back with Lily from Modern Family.
A baby.
Carrie wrote that joke. And
so what is your...
Very useful.
And we got a lot more to talk about on the show. We've got Robert Wrestling, we've got Game of Thrones, North Korea, the Rutgers coach, all sorts of stuff. But I want to ask you, so what's your latest
yesterday,
blunder?
Yesterday, I went to get my prescription filled for my Nexium.
I said, doc!
And I went to go pay for the Nexium, which is the heartburn medicine, because I'm taking a long trip, she says, hey, did you notice that your license is expired? And I said, excuse me, there must be some mistake. And I looked at it, and it expired on my birthday, which would have been the 30th.
Yeah.
That's when they normally do.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize that. Who knows that?
Well, you have a valid passport.
I do have a valid passport.
So you're covered. But as far as I know, you're covered. You don't need
to be able to drive over there, though.
No, but I freaked out so much this morning. I went to the DC DMV to get a new license.
Just to cover your ass.
Yes, I did not want to F around. I didn't want to try and get on that plane if they ask for two forms of identification. It's just my passport.
Probably aren't going to do that, but I think that's smart to get it updated and do that type of thing. So, you know, it's just the thing that got me yesterday is when you guys were talking about the fact that you didn't have your immunizations.
No.
Not that that is a country that's, you know, if you're going to go rural, you might want to have immunizations, but you're going to do the city thing. I mean, you are taking a little bit of a...
Yeah. I agree. I tried. I did a little research, and I went off beijingisfun.com. to some more reputable sites.
Beijingisfun.com?
From Yahoo News.
Oh, no, here we go.
Scientists taking a first look at the genetics of the bird flu strain that recently killed two men in China said Wednesday that... Now, that's like saying we have a flu virus that killed 10 people here and don't travel to the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
And the only difference is China's a much larger country. So, so it's really absurd
to
think
two guys.
Two people died in China for you to be afraid. But I thought I'd share this with
Chinese
you anyway.
Viruses work harder for less money.
Yes, they do. It killed two men in China. They said Wednesday that the virus could be harder to track than its better-known cousin because it might be able to spread silently among poultry without notice.
Be very quiet.
The scientists at several research institutes around the world said that the H7N9 virus seems troubling because it can generate no symptoms in poultry while seriously sickening humans. So, you know what? What does that tell you?
Go.
Probably no duck and chicken.
Stay away from the duck and chicken.
Go on to the paragraph about pigs. I think it's the next paragraph.
All right.
Scientists also say the findings are preliminary for the testing. In the meantime, they're urging Chinese veterinary authorities to widely test animals and healthy birds in affected regions that detect and eliminate the virus before it becomes widespread. In addition to causing two deaths in Shanghai.
Where?
Shanghai. The virus also seriously sickened five other people in two eastern provinces in the strain's first known infections of humans. Those regions stepped up measures this week to guard. So you're going to see probably a lot of people with masks.
Must be further down, but they're also concerned that it's spreading to pigs, and it will be pigs, they believe, that will spread the virus then to humans.
Don't dig on swine,
dude. Yeah, I won't get into that. I mean, look, I think I'm prepared as best I can be. I got a couple Tylenols.
No, you're not. You're not prepared as best
you
can be.
I've got some Band-Aids.
At all.
Did you get a prescription for antibiotics?
No.
You need to do that.
It's not like he has doctors in his family.
Time.
No, you do.
You do have time. Get a prescription. But he needs a doctor's prescription.
It's curtains.
Well, you know what? It's not like he's related to 10 doctors. So
Schmosker,
we can't do that.
Fantana,
call,
they have somebody.
Please call at least one of your physicians in your family.
Go to an urgent care place.
He
needs a script.
They can do that.
Yeah, I could get that done. I'll take care of that. What's more important is this.
You two are idiots.
I got two.
I'm going to live forever. Remember when they wrote us that about Don and me?
Yeah.
We have that I'm going to live forever attitude. You know.
Hey, you're still alive.
And then your eyes will be all wide, and you'll be saying, I've got a sick tummy. What am I going to do? You know, well, you didn't prepare.
For the trip over, I've already purchased from iTunes, because I don't steal movies. I purchased
Here's
them.
Here's the technology.
I got.
What you really get on iTunes is going to save your life.
And you really should get those on Amazon.
Yeah, I apologize. I just I slept on that, but yeah. I'll get them through my Amazon next time.
He's in a panic.
I got. Right. Contagion, that'll be a good flick to watch on the way over. Uh-huh. And a classic, and I think a thoroughly underrated, right. Outbreak.
Oh, so, that's Outbreak. Terrific.
Good that's also, back to back, baby.
I also recommend Kurt Russell's Big Trouble in Little China. a fabulous film. You would enjoy that. Also, Kill Bill's Volumes 1 and 2 would be a good film to watch. Am I missing anything?
You could always, if you wanted to go classic.
I knew you were going to go back to black. Are you going to go to Charlie Chan? No. Were you going to? Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
No, how do you accuse me of this?
Because you said you want a classic.
You want a classic?
What's your classic?
Bob Hope and Bing Crosby.
Yeah, I can't forget it.
Oh, my God, but you were wrong. So there, face.
No, I wasn't wrong.
You were.
You went back.
Go Charlie Chan. I guarantee it.
You referenced a movie from the 40s, from the
30s. You guaranteed it was Charlie Chan, and it wasn't.
I know. Well, it's what you do.
Anyway. I also downloaded Red Dawn. You can't go wrong with Red Dawn.
Yes,
Red Dawn is a good one. I'm trying to think of classic Asian-themed Tora. although that's old, too. And that's Japanese. Yeah. So it's like the
same
Chinese. You got any Chinese ones, Buzz?
Emperor of the Sun? No, I can't think of it.
Is that Japanese? Emperor of the Sun?
Emperor of the Sun. Yeah, Emperor of the Sun is Japanese as well. Is that the Christian Bale when he was a little baby?
Yeah.
That's it. So anyway.
Tea House of the August Moon.
What is that one?
I believe that's Marlon Brando in Chinese makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Those Kabuki.
That might be a tremendous career misstep.
You brought up you fathead. You brought up the Ten Commandments yesterday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's, do you know what I hate about the Ten Commandments? I mentioned the fact that I hate watching it. Do you know why I hate watching it? The number one reason.
I do, because they sweated all the details of cultural accuracy.
Exactly. This babe that plays Cleopatra,
yes,
is it Ann Baxter? It is. I think it is Ann Baxter,
and it's Nefertiti.
The whitest looking. Was it Nefertiti?
I believe. Let me double check.
Nefertiti.
She had beautiful Nefertitis,
and she's supposed to be Egyptian.
Yes,
correct.
Yes.
Nobody's
Which would make
Egyptian.
Her brown.
And she couldn't look any more. She looks like seriously a checkout girl at a Walmart.
Oh, I know. And that's not even the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that the Emperor Sethi is Sir Cedric Hardwick, and he's running Egypt like this.
And they're white people.
And his son is Yul Brynner.
They're ridiculously white people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not great.
It's terrible.
But it is great because it's so terrible.
Right.
It's the best movie ever with cartoon fire.
Oh, yeah.
I have one other question, and I'm really, the last thing I want to do is terrify you as you go.
Too late.
Of course.
There was so much joy until yesterday's show.
Ann Baxter did play Nefertiti. Yeah.
Oh, Nefertiti.
Ann Baxter is Nefertiti?
Yes. Huh.
So has it ever entered? So it's not Nefertiti.
No. I think in real life it was Nefertiti, but in the movie it's Nefertiti. No. I think they did it to not pay bills.
No, stop.
No,
it's Nefertiri right here on
So it's Nefertiri.
Nefertiri.
I've never
but
heard
growing
that
up in school, I remember Nefertiti.
Yeah, I do too. Right.
But
too.
I think maybe it is just in the movie that it's Nefertiri.
Who cares? Let me ask you this. Am I goal to terrify you before you go to China?
Yes.
Have you thought, has it crossed your mind at all about this this current conflict that we have?
Yeah.
That in the event that, you know, the number one ally of the North Koreans is China, even though allegedly they are putting pressure on this event. You know, they always talk about them putting pressure. If they're putting so much pressure on the guy, how come every day he's got another threat?
He's
how
escalating.
Come every day he ramps this this tension up more?
Because he's not listening to anybody, not even China at this point.
But China it also proves that they in previous administrations, China really, I used to remember, would step it up and you'd see Korea back off completely. North Korea would back up a lot. You don't see that anymore with this guy.
I think Kim Jong-un's father and his father before him knew how serious China was when China made these threats. I think Kim Jong-un is clueless as to the consequences of what he's doing.
Or he sees China. Dumb. Maybe he sees China as weakening now that they're letting people like Oscar and Todd in.
Now's our chance.
They're even letting the Bolivians
in. I'm scared. I called my mom yesterday. I said, look, if anything happens to your boy, I've got an Encore insurance.
And that's good.
There's a black box at home. And
you mean you don't have a contract with your mom written up in case this goes down?
No.
Thought maybe you had something in writing.
I think the only pressure that China would feel, this is just my opinion on international relations, and I don't talk about it very often because I don't know a whole hell of a lot about it, but I do have some opinions on based on what I read. And it would seem to me that if we were to get evidence that this guy was going to do something insane.
Right.
I think our military has contingencies where we're going to do something preemptive to prevent him from doing it. Because, I mean, if he's fueling up rockets and they're getting ready to do a launch against Seoul, you know, it's not the United States I'm worried about. I don't think he's got capability to do that. Most people say he doesn't. But if he was ramping up to attack our wonderful ally, South Korea, and send some missiles over to Seoul, it would seem to me that we do something preemptive. And as soon as that happens, as much as China likes to put pressure on North Korea, I think that's when China has to step up and flex their muscles, and that's when sitting in a cafe in Beijing, it might get a little testy.
Well, I can see us turning on CNN like the middle of next week to see Oscar and Todd goose-stepping in Red Square, just trying to blend in.
If that
see
does happen, make my word, mark my words. Make my words, Jesus.
Mark your words. You are a little frazzled.
Yes. Understand.
Mark my words. We will spend whatever money and savings we have to get home right away.
It's craziness over there simply because as much as people talk about not wanting to commit any kind of U.S. forces to any altercation,
right?
Every story I read, and it seems every day there is a different variant on this North Korea situation. You'll probably have a little bit more later in the news as it becomes more top of the news cycle every day. It seems to me we are waiting for this douche to do something.
Douche is right.
And there's a part of me that says, you know,
don't wait to react.
Are we going to wait till the missiles are heading towards Seoul, South Korea, and are going to kill South Korean people before we do anything?
Are we only going to react?
It makes us look weaker on the international stage. Is that, you know, we're just holding off.
We can't be a tyrant, though.
Yeah, we can't.
We can't.
It's a really difficult situation. I just hope that we have that wonderful military intelligence that we have with our spy planes and everything else that we know what's going on
and I think
with our satellites. Spy planes is more
1960s. But we still have them, and satellites, of course. But I think the show of force that we're presenting right now is a good step in that direction, and we can step that up if we need to. So it's not just keeping an eye on them to sort of prevent them making a first move, but also to intimidate them out of making a first move by our military presence there.
Doesn't it freak you out, Buzz, when you read a story that says, will Kim Jong-un attack?
Yes.
Doesn't that seem like, okay,
well,
we're just...
That is the question.
We're sitting there, you know, and you're waiting for him. I mean, you look at a good hockey fight. You know, a good hockey fight is anticipating when the guy's going to do it, and if you think he's coming, you get your first blow in first.
I don't have any privileged information, but I have no doubt that the U.S. military is keeping a very close eye on this and doesn't plan to let that happen.
It's
and nothing's
weird.
Impossible, but
isn't it strange that we've asked for kind of a de-escalation of the military, but right now, as we're dealing with this kind of crisis, you sit there, you're like, thank God we have all these weapons.
Yeah.
Isn't that so strange that you think about it that way? Before, I'm like, we don't need 20 B-2 bombers or whatever they have.
Sell some of the spy planes
off. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Great article online from Yahoo News. And it starts like this. It says, okay, it's not all about the tightly closed Stalinist regime's 30-year-old supreme leader, and noted Dennis Rodman pal. There are allies like South Korea to reassure, global markets to calm, and rivals and foes to impress. But President Barack Obama's muscular response to North Korea's escalating saber-rattling, a response that has included, and Buzz, you were mentioning this, ordering nuclear-capable bomber flights over the Korean Peninsula, dispatching U.S. warships to the region, and beefing up missile defense systems, owes a lot to the fact that it's Kim's first major confrontation with America and its allies. What that tells me is we got the complete wild card here.
Yeah.
We don't know what the guy's going to do.
It's true.
True. True.
I mean, we
You're leaving tomorrow.
Thanks.
Have a nice trip.
Flying through the area.
It's crazy. You're gonna be fine.
Well, I'm telling you guys.
And the rest of the show, I promise we won't talk anymore about this.
No, it's too late.
Hey, do you think it would be possible for him and Todd to ride home on a missile?
Like, what's
the end of a Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah!
Waving their hat in the air, just like Slim Pickens. I think that'd be great.
Okay, now that's a black and white movie that I like. All right, we'll talk more about Game of Thrones. That Rutgers coach, I know everybody's got an opinion on that. That's all over, viral now. And we'll talk about Game of Thrones with the little video thing. I already said that. Come on, spring, we're ready. And Jimmy Fallon, they say they signed him. So we'll see what happens. We'll take a break, come right back. This is the Mike O'Meara Show. That you're in love with me. Hey, our friends at Wait Not, welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Our friends at Wait Not are doing something for you that I think is spectacular, and it involves affordability. Now, there is a range of Wait Not programs to fit any budget. Wait Not plans start now as low as $5 a day. That's about the cost of a gym membership. And you can accelerate your weight loss based on the pace that you like and your budget. The people at Wait Not have lost hundreds of pounds on so many of our listeners. We love it when you send us those stories. With Wait Not, you'll eat the real natural foods you can find in any grocery store. No packaged meals, no meal replacements, no prescriptions, and most importantly for somebody like me, no stimulants, nothing artificial. It's the safe way to lose weight, and it keeps it off.
Lose weight the way you want to, at your rate, and at as much as you can afford it. Now, Mike, it makes sense. Did you see what Air Samoa is doing?
No.
Air Samoa is actually charging your ticket based on your total weight.
Oh, that's like the Samoans that used to go on the Prices Right.
Well, yeah, I don't think
Where are the Samoans?
I don't think they're actually flying that way, but they're saying in certain cases, a skinny family of four can fly cheaper than two fat people. Mm-hmm. So if you want to save money, fly to Samoa, but first call Wait Not and lose the weight.
And here's something you should do. You should go to their Facebook page. The Wait Not Facebook page has bunches of success stories that you can read about. To find out more, visit waitnot.com. Wait Not, show us what you are made of. Okay, the viral video of the day, and it's one that I noticed because I played a lot of sports in high school, and I had, from Little League on, I had coaches that were good and coaches that were bad. I have a memory. I don't know if I've talked to, I may have talked about it. What's on the air for 30 years. You talk about everything.
Yeah, just about.
My father pulled me out of midget football after a practice where Coach Corbeil was sitting there and looked at us, and he said, okay, Saturday we're going in there, and you want to beat those black and tans. And he was talking about the inner city kids that were that was in the, and my father, God love him. This is way, way back. This is when I was, this is the 1970s, or probably the late 1960s, early 1970s. And he went, we're out of here.
Wow.
And, you know, I think that anybody that has had children in Little League, anybody that has participated in high school sports, whether it's college sports, you know, sports are interesting. You know, the main pressure is usually to win, even at the Little League level.
Yep.
You know, you hear a lot about self-esteem, and we kind of have an anti-politically correct, you know, it's kind of a force of people that are talking about that we shouldn't be politically correct. Everybody shouldn't get the self-esteem trophy. I'm one of those people. But at the same time, I'm also somebody who says, if you are responsible for molding young men and women in an organized athletic situation, you can't be an a-hole. And that goes right up to the high levels of the Rutgers basketball
program.
Doesn't
just have to do with athletics. Anytime you're in a situation where you are in a responsible for the structure of a situation that a kid is in.
Yes.
It's an amazing undertaking. It can be preschool. It can be Little League. It could be any sort of club. But if you're in that position, it's a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
And I am all about, and I'm going to go so far as to say, the helmet grab with the face mask in a football where you walk up as a coach and you say, look at me, and you grab the helmet like that and you look. I'm even okay with that.
Me too.
I really am. This video that's gone viral, and if you're living in a hole, you might not know, but it's the video of the Rutgers coach, Rutgers Mike Rice. He's the basketball coach.
He's very popular in China.
And he is really, there's one scene where he just shoves the guy halfway across the court.
Physically abusive.
He kicks a guy, you know, consistently. Ball. I mean, there were two of them. I saw one and I say, you're done. You're done.
I saw a series of them.
And, you know, and this guy, it speaks once again to the whole university system of these athletic directors, these ADs that actually say, well, he was warned. And then they all start doing. And they're just, it's all this win thing. This guy doesn't even have a winning record.
No, he doesn't. The whistleblower for this whole thing was a guy named Eric Murdoch. He used to play in the NBA, and he worked under Rice. And the thing that, this is what I find really detestable about the guy, is that he knew, this guy Rice, knew how to work the system, and that when supervisors were at rehearsal, I'm sorry, don't want to sound like
that. Oh, rehearsal.
At practice.
You big queen.
He is the
wow.
queen.
Wow.
At least I
can. No business-like show.
At least I caught myself, Mike. In every day, rehearsal. In every way, I'm getting better and better. But he actually behaved a different way when
Mike
supervisors...
Mike O'Mara, for why we're not on WJFK.
They forgot the prop. I mean, the bowls.
I'm sorry, Rob. It's just
that's okay. You know, rehearsal. And I don't have any bad feelings for Oscar. I'm going to visit him in the hospital. He actually behaved a different way when supervision was there. And I think
so he would play it differently when
listen,
he would have people
here's Murdoch
there.
Talking about that.
All right. Whenever Tim Panetti came into the gym, Mike Rice was on his best behavior. You know, he's clapping, he's positive, you know. As soon as Tim Panetti leaves, you know, every kid is an asshole, bitch, a f***ing it, you know, a you know. And that's how it was.
Is that the C word he was using there?
Yeah, and also the lesser... Dirty, the but still the homophobic
now listen,
F word. Yeah.
When it comes to language, look, you're playing at a high level, a Division I program. Mm-hmm. That's a different story. You can talk like men. If you don't swear in sports, I've been in locker rooms my whole life. You don't. Having that said is A-okay with me. You get a little rough language, you know, and say, but here's the difference between. Here's the rough language. You go, hey, get your effing ass in gear.
Right.
But saying you're a this. Or you're that goes over the line as well.
We agree.
You can say, if you don't hustle, I'm going to make you do laps, or you can just go, you can quit practice for the day, and you come back tomorrow when you want to. There's so many ways of implementing your will. And when you get to the modern athlete of today, as much as I'm not always all that much for it, you know, you talk about guys that of a certain age where that is not necessarily going to motivate them 100%.
No.
You know, you're not going
to
really.
Look, he's an abusive bully punk, and he needs to be fired. That's my opinion.
Yeah, because it's guys that he knows you can shove that are bigger than he is, and you can shove them.
When
and
his
you can
boss
kick
isn't
him.
Looking.
But you can shove them, and you can kick them when there's practice because you know that they're terrified of you because they'll be kicked off the team. And that kind of fear.
Power.
I think that's what pisses me off about this
power.
Coach.
Because this isn't, I mean, if you really look at it like as a work environment. This wouldn't fly in any work environment today. It only flies in these locker rooms, and if it does happen, there isn't an HR you can go to. The HR you go to, you're almost a snitch if you go and say, coach is being too hard on me.
Or, you know, I was thinking when I there's one scene where he walks up and he hits this kid on the chest and he really knocks
hard.
Him back.
Yeah.
And I said, man, it would be tough, but I'd love to. You know, my fantasy is this: you just see the kid turning cold.
Oh, yeah, crack him.
Yeah, just lay him out. Yeah.
You bring
just
up something really interesting is that I can almost see them turning their heads in the interest of good business if this was an amazing team. But he's, what, a losing record for 3 years?
No, but even if it's an amazing team, Rob, the physical abuse that you have.
No,
you
know, yeah, look at Bobby Knight.
Talk about Bobby Knight. I mean, is that the most illustrious career you've ever seen?
True enough.
That ended his career.
That guy does Applebee's commercials now, though.
He does that.
He threw chairs. But
that makes it all right.
No, I'm saying it doesn't make it all right.
About society?
I'm just saying that people forget and they don't care.
Well, I think the Applebee's.
As much as they should.
You know, and that's with Digger Phelps. That's the commercial that he does. And I think that
I like Applebee's.
I think that commercial.
You won't find one in China.
No, but you know
why are you the one that gets to go to China?
Once
anyway.
Again, he loves food, doesn't he?
I like Applebee's.
Yeah, they fry cheese.
I showed you that video. You didn't care about anything I was.
Well,
that
one it looked complicated. You know,
it looked complicated.
I said, do you like duck? He said, I hate duck.
Yeah. Oh,
he's going to China. But then again, with the bird flu, maybe you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
But I look at this, and it crosses the line as soon as you are getting that physical with the guys, and if you're calling them that word.
But perhaps I didn't phrase the question
Rice
right.
Rice fired by Rutgers.
There it is.
I told you.
There it is.
Excellent.
Thank you.
A good lesson.
I wonder how many coaches coach in a similar way. I mean, when I was in high school and I played basketball, my best coach was my worst coach because he was tough. He didn't really get physical. There might have been a little bit of shoving here and there.
Grabbed your ass.
You know, when he would try to cover you playing defense, he might, you know, really shove you, give you some elbows. But I mean that tough discipline helped me. In my sports career. I mean, if he started kicking me, I might have had a problem.
This guy
with that.
Was consistently a bully.
Yeah.
And
there are so many ways.
Made an example.
There are so many ways that you can physically discipline an athlete that don't involve hitting or grabbing or something like that. I mean, and you stop a practice or you stop something, you go, hey, wait. Listen, what are you doing? Come on. Get your act together. Mm-hmm. Get your S together.
Pump
That's fine, too.
Yeah.
This is the tweet from Rutgers Athletics. Based upon recently revealed information and a review of previously discovered issues, Rutgers has terminated the contract of Mike Rice. That's from Rutgers Athletics.
Done and done.
Now, what I wanted to say, and this was what I wrote in my show prep this morning, should the AD go as well? And I think he should, because
they're essentially part of the cover-up.
This was exposed to them, and you get these people that there's pressure. It's not just the coach that's under this pressure. The athletic department, which brings in the money for the school in a Division I program, and it's once again, here we go.
It should be looked into, but if even the student athletes are saying that this guy was on his best behavior when his bosses were around, the AD really might not have known.
No, he didn't know.
Oh, he did know.
Yeah, well, this guy was suspended before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was suspended before.
Well, then he should go, too.
And there were miles of tape and footage that they had seen.
Yeah, no, I know. The video.
They knew this. So it wasn't just showing up at the practice where the guy would be on his best behavior.
Okay.
I think before those tapes came to light, he would pull that crap.
Well, yeah, if they knew about it, sure. Clearly, they should go too.
Wasn't it the AD who turned him in?
I'm not sure.
The whistleblower was. I know that NBA player has got the notion of the whistleblower. So
right.
I think that's
he ended up.
Pernetti
getting...
is the AD, correct?
Yeah. Yes, right, I think so.
Let me just see.
Well, let coaches across the country be on notice that everybody has cameras in their phones now, and it's
sure
time
enough.
To start behaving or face the same consequences as this guy.
But I think the AD who originally turned over those tapes, he mysteriously got fired. Apparently, what it was that his contract ended.
I heard that this morning.
And they didn't renew.
Tim Pernetti, the Rutgers director of intercollegiate athletics, Tim Pernetti released a statement today saying, "I am responsible for the decision to attempt a rehabilitation of Coach Rice.
Okay.
Dismissal and corrective action were debated in December, and I thought it was in the best interest of everyone to rehabilitate, but I was wrong. All right, he's fallen on the sword here. Yeah, Moving forward, I will work to regain the trust of the Rutgers community. I'm sorry, dude. If you're looking at those tapes, you're out too.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion, you are. I mean, making that decision to rehabilitate, there are certain things. When you're kicking a player, when you're shoving a player, when you're using that kind of this is a standard now, isn't it? I mean, you lay hands on a player like that, and you're out.
The other thing Pernetti said is that he's so sad. And that he's not a good boy.
I don't understand what's going here. All right, here's what Pernetti said.
I heard it's Pernieri. But
He said, "I spent more time with that option on whether we should fire Mike or not than any other option," Pernetti said on WFAN radio on Tuesday. "At the same time, the results of the investigation and where we end up in the determination was made to suspend him. Bye. Bye-bye." Yeah. I'm sorry, man. This is your compass This is your compass being off. He was shown.
Right.
This is it, Buzz, you were looking for. Pernetti was shown hours of video in late November by a former employee.
Okay.
He suspended Rice for 3 games a month later, fined him $50,000, and ordered him to attend anger management classes. Mm-hmm. No, man.
Not good.
You are a coach. You've been a coach.
Right.
You don't do that.
Right.
And you shouldn't be in that position. If you need to attend anger management classes, you shouldn't be supervising young people.
Shouldn't have the job.
True enough.
In any capacity.
Shouldn't
somebody
have been
said,
there in the first place.
They were talking about it today, and somebody said if you were in a work environment, working for corporate America, and somebody wanted to grab you and kick you in the ass, I mean, that would be...
No, they wouldn't allow that.
That'd be it.
It'd be frowned upon.
Well, I let Michael Hughes do it. But I always thought he had the best interest of me
in mind. It with love.
He did.
It said that Rice's coaching antics caused at least 3 players to transfer from Rutgers.
Yep. And don't call them antics. That's something fun and silly.
Yeah,
and Rutgers is a great school. I mean, a phenomenal school.
Well, it's not American.
That's
it's not a great school.
It's not VCU.
So it said the verbal abuse, the belittling. I was in total shock that this guy wasn't fired immediately on the spot. That's
just a punk, a bully.
That's this guy Murdoch.
Kicking players. Just disgusting.
So it's all done, but I mean, it's after the fact, and I think that unfortunately, you know, when something like this goes down, when they were aware of it, And if they made the decision quickly, there would probably be a lot more players. They're talking about some of these guys had trouble eating. You remember when you were 18, 19 years old?
Yeah. God.
Do you remember how influenced you were by different people in your life and how you could be manipulated? I mean, it's done in our business as well.
Sure.
You know, you've got young people that are coming up and they get completely taken advantage of, and it's a drag. So he's gone. So long. Happy
Bye-bye.
Home. No. I understand, though, he's going to be going out to a small Indiana high school now. And he's going to beat Barbara Hershey, and he's going to rehabilitate his career.
I love shows that mention Barbara Hershey. So.
We'll take a break and come back. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Catholic girl start much too late. Tomorrow's the night, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the O'Mara family is going out to the old hockey game, the good old hockey game.
That'll be great.
With Jimmy Cerrito. What could possibly go wrong?
Hey.
And we got our tickets from ScoreBig because ScoreBig.com is simply the best website to get your tickets to a game. You can't find any better. And the main reason for this is you'll see a, say you see a price that's okay.
Yeah,
none of them are phenomenal.
Right.
No.
But you see a price that's okay on one of these other websites, and then you're like, hey, that's not bad, and you calculate it, and you're all set to go. You click on the ticket. You see where your seats are. You see what your seats are going to cost, and then it's checkout time. Then you give them your credit card information. You put that on the website, and you look down there, and you see, what the hell did I just see? A usage fee.
Fees.
A usage Boo. Fee is terrible. And that's what I wanted to do, but I hit that. It's really a great bargain on ScoreBig simply because of that. If you're going to go to ScoreBig for one reason, go because they don't have those fees.
Right.
No fees guaranteed at any time. If you use ScoreBig for the first time, you will get $30 off your first order.
Well.
All you have to do is enter our code TMOS. That's great seats, below box office prices, and an extra $30 off with your first order. Oh, remember, no extra fees.
None.
No need to go anywhere but ScoreBig, and don't forget to enter the code TMOS. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very
and
much.
By the way, Rob, they don't sell sports rehearsal tickets.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, you don't want to go to the rehearsal because then you'd know how the game ended.
Rehearsal. Yeah. You know what's great? It is so really you, though. It is so honest.
Yeah,
you,
it's great.
You
isn't
despise
it?
Sports. And I think you should own that. You should embrace that and
Be
talk
proud.
About however, as a father, there is no greater dad, in my opinion, in the world. You are so good to your children, and the reason you're good to your kids...
Well, Mike, where do you see the tapes that have been released?
Hey, you go all in.
Well, you got
and
to.
You did something. I said, with a son on the way, I'm not doing that.
You will.
I am
neither.
No. I
you
am
will.
Not going to wrestling for 5 hours.
It
and
was
you
an
go
all,
to,
it was an
you go
fair.
To amusement parks for 7 hours.
Well, that's for
you,
me.
You, yeah, I know. Well, yeah, that is for you.
I like the amusement park.
That to me is like, I'll never. In fact, there are the ABCs of you that I just totally can't figure out. 5 hours of wrestling. Is there. Now, I know that you're a good dad, but I'm not sure how selfless you are. You must enjoy. If you're there for 5 hours, you got to have something that you like.
How many hours did you enjoy?
I enjoyed roughly half of the hours.
And okay,
they weren't
so you were
all
being
in
a good dad.
They weren't all in sequence. What happened is the wrestling is the WWE Raw. That's their cornerstone event. That's the Monday night show.
Right.
And this was the last one before their huge overpriced pay-per-view this weekend. So this was going to be a big deal.
Before
and it was,
WrestleMania.
Yeah, and it was downtown in Washington, D.C. at the Verizon Center. So we got Robert. I'm sorry, the Easter Bunny got a pair of tickets for Robert, which so there was no candy in the basket this year, just a couple of tickets. And I said, who do you want to go with? And he said, Dad. And Mom said, yes.
Awesome.
So we got down there and we
No
left.
Jabril?
No. Jabril loses focus.
Poor Jabril.
And the tickets are not cheap.
The tickets are not cheap, but Jabril does tend to lose focus. And
what does he do? How does it manifest itself? Does he start misbehaving?
His eyes wander. His jaw slacks.
So in other words, you're not going to take him because it's like...
He doesn't appreciate it like
he doesn't
boy
appreciate
does.
It. Right. Okay.
So we left to go at about 4 o'clock because getting to D.C. from Leesburg is a haul and there's traffic. And the doors opened at 6 o'clock and the show
so you
started
leave,
at 6:30.
You leave at 4 o'clock.
Left at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Now, how many people when you get... What time did you get down to Verizon Center?
We got into D.C. and parked at about 5:15, I think.
Okay, so you get down there at 5:15. So you're the early, early birds,
We're
right?
very early. Not as early as you would think.
Are there any other... parents that are down there at this hour?
Lots of parents, but there's also that core wrestling group that are all there on F Street waiting for the doors to open.
The law students.
Yeah, all the law students, all the
pre-med kids.
The intellectual elite that knew that they want to get there early.
Can I ask you about this?
Please.
I went years and years and years ago.
Yes.
And just as a joke. I went as a joke. I never really...
Not to compete.
I never really analyzed the fans. That's the tugboat era.
I remember.
And I never really analyzed the fans. It would seem to me it's grown. It's become more popular.
Yeah.
But at its core, I mean, if you're talking about adults, grown-ups that are going to see that without kids... you're talking about some really stupid people,
it's
correct?
It's really, there is definite lines that can be drawn. Mm-hmm. There is the, usually, and I'll usually say this, it's usually a father-son dynamic.
Right.
And you see a lot of parents putting up with what's going on.
Okay. Yes. All right.
And then you see the older wrestling fans, I'd say anyone over 40, that's the people that I wonder about, that are really into it and that are screaming, like at one point, Chris Jericho looked like he was going to lose.
Is he one of the wrestlers?
Yes. Okay. And his thing
is... Did he come to rehearsal?
He was not at rehearsal. And he showed up, and he's great. He's got a leather jacket that lights up in the dark.
Oh, and of course. See, that's how I measure my men.
The kids love it. And right. But when there's a woman who's in her 50s next to you on the other in this next section going, come on, Chris Jericho! Come on!
Yeah.
Come on! Come on, Chris! Don't let him do this to you! Come on! Come on!
All right, stop right there. And it gets back to the age-old debate.
Yeah.
So she can't possibly think it's real.
I think she does.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, how can people be that stupid?
I have a different outlook on it. And go ahead, Buzz.
I was just going to say, I think a similar thing happens. You can draw a parallel with roller derby to a certain extent. And I think back in the day when you went to see wrestling, roller derby at that same time, both houses were filled with fans who believed in what they were seeing. I think today you have a mixture. And especially with roller derby, I'd say well over half, maybe three quarters of the people who are in the audience are there because it's kitschy, because it's
a
just
different type of entertainment.
Yeah,
I would venture to say that 0.01% of the people that attend a wrestling match would even know what the word kitschy means.
I think you're right, perhaps. But I think some
and
people
maybe
are there.
Roller derby too.
Some people are there for the goof.
I think you got
this
you
is
went
too
there.
Expensive to go for the goof though.
But
I
Buzz
think
got
people.
Into roller derby he and did. Buzz yeah. goes and you know. Buzz, and just has a fantastic time.
I think there were a lot of people, like-minded people there.
Well, I know Buzz was at the roller derby. He came in third.
I'll give you an example. I used to actually think the same along the same lines that you did until I went to WrestleMania. And we went there for the show, and I'd gone to a couple
of
shows.
Oh, that's right. You guys did wrestlers all the time on your show.
And then we went, and I said, well, now I understand. It's just, it's a blast if you know what's going on.
Right.
It does because help. You can go one or two ways. You can root for the good guys or the bad guys. And you know Chad. He's a big fan of wrestling. Mm-hmm. So he was at Raw as well.
I got a chance to see him, as a matter of fact.
He said, it's a blast, and he explains it so well, and I get it because I've been there with him.
So he articulates.
Yeah, so they root for the bad guy just to be dicks.
Yeah, right.
So they root for the bad guy, and all these little kids and parents around them are like kind of freaked out. They're like, no, why boo? Why are you rooting for the bad guy? Like,
see some of that.
Like, people get upset, and all they do is drink beers and, like, yell and scream and just do what they want to do on Monday night.
Is there a large contingent of adults that do this for that, because that's their entertainment, that they vote for the villain?
I saw some of that in the younger segment, like the 20s. And there was one guy just drunk. I don't know how he made it home. And he was yelling so bad for the villains that Robert was upset.
See?
Now wrestling is a sports game that does have rehearsals.
It does have rehearsals.
Yes, they do have rehearsals. Does.
Yeah. And we got there, and it was, you know, it was me and him, and it was, they say the doors open at 6:30, and I said, the show
I think I could drink all the bottles of Jameson's I wanted, and I wouldn't kill as many brain cells as going to one of those things.
Well, no, there's for the adults and the fathers, I think what a lot of people don't realize, for the kids, there's, when there are women involved in the show, they're basically naked there.
That's my first ding for wrestling
right
there.
And there's a little babe appeal in roller derby, too.
So did the Funkasaurus.
Not as much as there should be.
No, agreed.
I mean, to be honest,
some are bruisers, some are babes, some are babes, some are bruisers.
Is it still down at the Armory?
Yeah, absolutely.
You still go on a regular basis?
Is the Armory still standing?
I haven't been in a year, but I want to go back, because it's just major fun. It's just a lot of fun.
But it's a sellout, correct?
Oh, it was a sellout?
You're wrestling.
It was huge. So we get to our seats a little after 6, or I got a beer, and Robert got an appetizer at the Green Turtle, and we go in, and we sit down, and it looks different. It's all blue. And normally the main color when you watch wrestling on TV is red. He says, oh, this is the blue squad. They're shooting the Friday night show. Robert says this to me like,
wow,
you idiot. And then it changes again, and it's another match. And he says, oh, This is the Wednesday night show. And they're just recording
matches. Is Robert into it? So here's the thing. And maybe I shouldn't think about my kids. Whenever I'm thinking about my kids, I'm thinking about, you know, what they're going to do, where they're going to go, where they're going to end up in life, you know, how it's going to relate, how it's going to assist them. If I take my kid to a hockey game, for example, I would think, you know, hey, you know, maybe he's at a hockey game because he likes playing hockey. This is like taking him to a movie, right?
Right, precisely.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing socially redeeming about taking your kid.
It's nothing at all.
It's like taking the kid to the circus.
And to speak to the fact about whether or not he thinks it's real, we had a great conversation on the way in when we were talking about one of my favorite wrestlers, because he's funny. His name is Santino. And he said, and you know how Santino got started. And
now,
I said,
when you're saying this, I'm looking up the picture.
I said, I don't know how Santino got started. He says, Mr. McMahon picked him out of an audience in Italy and made him wrestle right there, and he became a superstar. Wow.
I have a confession to make.
And I said, wrong. Yeah.
Back in the day on the old Don and Mike show, when we'd have all those wrestlers, because Charlie and Lisa were loved wrestling, and they would bring them in there. Right. I swear to God, I wanted to be 20 states away.
Yeah.
I hated those interviews more than anything. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it. After we interviewed Mankind for the 750th time, I couldn't stand it. I didn't give a rat's ass that he wrote a kid's book.
Right.
He was a very nice man, and it was a pleasant conversation,
but I
never got it. I never figured it out. I never could.
That's
I'm telling I'm telling the
truth.
There
are people listening right now that would give their left, their, you know.
I'm
their
telling
left,
the truth.
It was a bad time for me.
I'm sorry that I'm saying that, because I have to be honest
with you. This is how big wrestling is. WrestleMania is going to be at MetLife Stadium. MetLife Stadium.
And not just that, the pay-per-view costs $70.
Yeah.
And they will sell millions
Mick
of
Foley,
them.
Mick Foley, I think a pretty intelligent guy who was really, I think at the time that we
I'm
had
not
him
slamming
on the radio.
Mick Foley.
Oh, I know that, but I mean, I think he was trying
I liked him a lot as a person. I felt like a fish out of water.
I know.
Because I knew I had no idea.
But I'm not sure.
Why don't you have any teeth, Mr. Foley?
I'm not sure Mick Foley wanted to talk about wrestling that much either. He was kind of at a stage, at least at that point, where he was trying to get away from that, and he wanted to become an author, which I admired him.
When I tell Robert about all the wrestlers that we had through.
No, I admired the guy. He was a good writer, and he was a good interview, and he was fun on the radio, but it was like, do you remember that's all we had?
Yeah.
Those are the only guests we ever had.
By
There's
the
so
fifth
many
or
people.
Sixth time, yeah.
Yes.
It's maybe too many.
When I told Robert about all the people I met, he said, oh my God, I wish I was your son then, because he was out of his mind. His favorite thing to tell his friends, and you probably don't even remember this, we had the
Is that this guy?
That's Santino.
Yeah. Hey, does he have that attitude? Yo, what are you doing?
He's Italian.
All right.
But two things quick. Is Robert's favorite story to tell his kids is that in the studio once, the Undertaker held me over his head.
I remember that.
Because
Rob was big, and I said, could you lift Rob
that
up?
That is cool.
I think I said that
over
to him.
His head.
I'm jealous.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I didn't have as bad a time as I said.
That would have been cool.
I did like The Undertaker when he talked about his whole family burning up. Or
yes,
something.
That's right. Oh. And I forgot that.
And he was like scary.
Forgot you let him do the whole backstory.
He did the backstory, and I asked him about it. And these would be, you know, brand new guys to me, and I'd look at him and stuff like that. It's just when you know, they're wrestlers.
But on the way in, when we brought up Santino.
Going to end up in wheelchairs.
And Robert said, yeah, in a couple weeks.
I mean, really, the steroids.
Oh, I know.
They do it too much.
And Robert told this fabulous backstory about Santino. And I said, but Robert, you know that, of course, that's a setup. He says, yeah. I mean, Robert, knows it's fake, but he loves the story.
But here's the part. I don't care what the entertainment is. I don't care what the concert, who the performer is. Uh-huh. 4 hours plus?
Oh, more than that.
Forget it.
Got to our seats at 7:45, left at 11:05.
Oh my
6:45 to 11:05.
What time did you get home?
So
you
left 6:45 to 11:05. Yep. And here's bless Robert. God. Bless Robert. I think he was ready to go because.
Well, bless Daddy.
No, because there's
Daddy has the keys to the car.
The amazing thing, Mike, is the Verizon Center is a wonderful venue, but every time there was a cheer, and there is a lot of cheering, every time there was a cheer, the entire arena smelled like a bad tooth.
Oh,
I mean, a wave of odor, a tangible, almost you could almost chew it.
Yeah.
It just and when they go, you know, the Rock would come out, yay, and then. And it would just fill your face.
So you're literally smelling people's breath?
Yes.
Because there's that much bad dental work?
And so they go through and they do
I'm going to throw up.
It's like one of our live shows.
A little bit. That's why the only safe place is on the stage. They go through all the pre-recorded stuff. So I'm there for about an hour and 15 minutes, and then it's 8 o'clock, and it's time for Raw to begin.
Yeah.
And they have fireworks and all this, and it's big, big stuff. And they do the entire Raw show, and that ends at 11:05. So now we've been there for about four and a half hours and change.
God, get me
and
a
then
gun.
They go to credits. It's over. And then there's what's called, Mike, the dark match. The dark match is done just for the arena
because
and
it's
is not
televised.
On television.
Oh.
And Robert looked at me and said, can we go now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even he got burned out.
And I said, you know, this is a big deal, this dark match. Cena's going to wrestle
in this.
Well,
they're going to do this after 11 o'clock at night?
And he said,
Jesus, how much? And these people just stay for it?
And mm-hmm. I said, let's go to the car.
What time do they stop serving beer?
I think 10.
Yeah. Oh, so you boy. Left the house at
I
4.
I pounded beer very early so I could just sober up the rest of the night.
You left the house at 4. You got home at, I'm guessing, midnight?
1:30.
1:30 in the morning.
Because,
so now we're talking about 9.5 hours.
Because, Mike, after I wanted to just kiss him on the forehead because he's the sweetest kid. He had the greatest night of his life. And he let us leave before it was over. So I said, we're going to get out of here easy. You get down to the parking garage at Verizon Center, and we're blocked in.
Yay.
Oh,
yay.
No.
Even to a point where I pulled an RJ. I backed in for the easy getaway. I'm hemmed in on all corners.
Well, you deserve that for being there for 5 hours.
Well, how do I deserve that?
I would tell my kid, and you're a great father. You're a better father than this guy. I swear to you, I'm going to have a son someday.
But
well, first of all, when he's that age, I'll say, we're not going to stay.
Go with Uncle Rob.
We're not going to stay for the whole show.
How dare you say I deserve it?
Well, because you were there for 5 hours. What the hell do you expect?
Yeah, the guy who runs the garage, like, this guy's not coming back.
You get there at 4 o'clock in the 8, you're going to get hemmed in. They're going to be like 7,000 people after you.
You spend $28 for a parking spot. One of the pieces that comes with it, one of the pleasures that comes with it, is the ability to come and go as you please.
I would think so.
You would
yes.
hope.
Yeah.
I would think so.
And
but
then Robert was so frustrated. He says, Dad, we're blocked in. I want to say, yeah, no S.
Yeah.
And then he looked at me. I said, I know, we're blocked in. He says, who would do this?
Outside. And then this is... I'm going to ask you this question.
Who indeed?
I'm going to ask you this question. This is the last question about wrestling.
All right.
Because my brain's starting to hurt about
it. I understand.
I will ask you this.
Yeah.
Outside of just a lovely evening of diversion with your son, is there anything redeeming that that the kids get out of this? Outside of watching people pretend to kill each other in horribly violent ways.
Is that I do think that there are certain wrestlers that give positive messages to reinforce the kids. That of perseverance, working
hard. Brush your teeth, you little sons of bitches.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. But yeah, there are, you know, and also
make sure when you have your first sexual encounter, you use protection. Oh, yeah. Now, if you're stay in school, make sure you get your GED.
It's not anything that would be any less subtle in a motion picture.
I'm the Undertaker.
Good versus bad.
It's pure entertainment.
Yeah. And it's pure entertainment.
That's what
and you know
is.
What?
Fun. Support the United States of America. Always respect and believe.
That's Jack Swagger. He's all about America.
Jack Swagger?
Jack Swagger was telling us
good
we're all
him.
Weak.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks. All right.
I would say, yeah, worth it for to watch him have that much good time. But I will say this, after this being my fourth event, wrestling is a TV sport or a TV thing.
Yeah.
Watch it on TV.
Watch
you go out
TV.
There, you're going to kill yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
I do.
Father of the year.
And I love the breath. Smelling like bad tea.
And you know what was great? I think most of the bad breath was coming from the lady in front of me that had a sign probably 3 feet long shaped like a coffin. And nice.
For the Undertaker.
And no, but in it said CM Punk. Because CM Punk is going against The Undertaker.
Okay, whatever.
So,
okay,
but,
thanks,
but
Jesus.
Robert
right,
said, I
that.
Wish he'd put the sign down.
That's like more than I needed. Anyway,
she had her teeth were.
RJ Diaz, where is he? What's he doing? Anybody know? He's
where
like
in
on
the
some
world of is RJ Diaz?
I'll tell you one thing. He's not working.
No.
That's
no.
true.
No.
So last I saw was RJ started on this trek across the country. He stopped by Coralville, Iowa, KCJJ.
I believe he's taking his son across.
What
that's
has happened?
Right.
Does he have a cat?
I have the answer.
Oh, okay. You do?
His son is moving, striking out on his own. His son is going to live in, and I've lost track, it's Fungus Corners, Washington, Oregon, right up there.
Okay.
And so RJ and his son have been making the road trip across the country. RJ escorting his son up to his new
where
home.
Where did he find the time?
In Fungus Corners. I don't know.
So his son is striking out on his own and taking some initiative. Must take after his mom.
Oh, that is just wrong.
That's terrible.
That is. I withdraw the remark.
RJ will drop him off. They'll help him get set up maybe and be headed back here soon, I suspect.
Is he traveling with a cat?
They do have the cat with them, yeah.
And if he's headed that way, why did he go through New York City?
Because he wanted to see, it was a chance to see the country. He stopped a lot of places along the way.
Chance to make the trip longer?
Mike.
Yeah, well, you know, when you have the time.
I can't say it on the air out of respect, but after the show, I'll tell you what his son is up to.
Can you write it down now, please? I bet I can't wait till the show. I bet I know what it involves.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Really? I know the answer to this, too.
Does it involve things that are legal in certain places and not legal in other places?
I don't know.
Yeah, it does. All
right.
Yeah.
But he's got a new... Is it a venture?
Yeah, yes, it would be a venture.
Would you call it a harebrained get-rich-quick scheme?
It's a foray.
Could I see that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
Boy, that's surprising.
Jeepers creepers.
Who would have thought that?
That's terrific. There's
nothing illegal about farming.
Thanks,
Dad. I bet RJ's son loves
No wonder
wrestling.
You knew where he was going. We'll take a break. Come
He's
back
an investor.
With Rob in the Magic Audio Vault.
But you know, Mike, that also explains the route through New York.
Exactly.
It does.
Yeah, probably for suppliers.
Or, no, I thought he just lost his sense of direction.
Hey, this segment of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Vistaprint. We have a wonderful letter. It says, Dear Mike and Company, I've been a longtime listener and a fan of the program. When I heard your promotion for Vistaprint, I thought it would be a great opportunity to pick up some long-needed business cards for a not-for-profit organization for which I work called the Utah 1033 Foundation. Our name refers to the radio code 1033, which means an officer is in need of emergency assistance. Mm-hmm. We provide immediate financial support to the families of Utah police officers who lose their lives in the line of duty and offer scholarships available to children of any Utah law enforcement officer.
Good.
We've been fortunate to have lost only two officers since we were founded in 2011. Thank God for that.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But I have personally delivered a check to the widow and surviving family of an officer who died in the line of duty. And that's Trooper Aaron Beasley. Strong emotions return from that day just writing this letter. It's a great cause that I'm sure resonates with you and the rest of the TMOS crew.
Yep.
I haven't purchased business cards because I could not justify the expense for printing them. However, with Vistaprint, this is not, I'm not trying to do this. This is coming from a letter. I don't want you to think that we staged this. You know, he's a part of a great organization,
yes.
And he used Vistaprint, and we want to share that with you, and it's a terrific letter. He was using Vistaprint. I was able to order some great-looking cards at a very reasonable price.
Sure.
I uploaded our logo easily, and I printed our mission on the back to help spread the word about what we do. Let me show you one of these right now from Ryan P. Walsh of the Utah 1033 Foundation.
Very cool.
Two-sided card. He got the stationery, and he got some stickers printed up as well, which he was kind enough to share with us.
Vistaprint does everything.
We asked for cards, and we got this letter.
Thank you on the other side for mentioning this letter and our organization on the program, and thank you to Vistaprint for encouraging us to actually mention these wonderful organizations as well. Vistaprint is a fine outfit for this, as Andy Parks would say.
Great
Vistaprint.com. Get your business cards, $250, $10. That's half price. Enter our code TMOS in the search bar and start making people happy. Give them your impressive new business cards from Vistaprint.com and from Mr. Ryan Walsh and the Utah 1033 Foundation. And I think that's a website too, is it not? Can they go to that? Go to Utah1033.org.
That is there.
Perfect. And one of my favorite things, ladies and gentlemen.
Included a coin.
I got a Utah 1033 Foundation coin that will go in the collection, and I'm very, very excited. I wanted to give you an update on Colonel Colburn. Speaking of coins, the director of the Marine Band,
yes.
We will be getting that coin that is in the mail.
Yay.
That's coming to me, and I've been invited out to see the parade grounds on one of the summer concert series that they do Fridays, where they bring out the drill team, they bring the silent guard, all the ceremonial units of the Marine Corps, and the Fife and Drum Corps, and also the Marine Band performs, and it's on the parade grounds out there. I think you probably see it. I guess Full Metal Jacket would be something where
you should bring the recorder, but don't bother trying to capture the sound of the silent corps.
I should do that.
Turn the gain way up.
Colonel Colburn, you are a good friend
nice
of mine,
fella.
And thanks again to Ryan Walsh, great organization out there in Utah. Let's get right to it and open the audio vault for today. This is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2013. Take it away, Rob.
We are still accepting submissions for the Jack Cassidy contest. Today's is probably our first contender.
Okay, good, because the audio, it's what it's all about ultimately. You have to wear your Jack Cassidy t-shirt. We'll put the videos up on our website, but at the same time, I like to hear it on the show
and make it sound good. You're going to hear good audio, but also I have to give you the video setup because this is well done.
Okay.
This is a guy that's at some sort of, it's not a rally. It looks like it might be in front of a clinic, but it's a right-to-life demonstration.
Okay.
Interesting.
What could possibly go
wrong?
He
does a great scene set. You can see the traffic, but there's a huge sign that says, you know, right-to-life.
Right.
Every baby means something. And all. There's a series of signs. And then in the distance comes listener Christian Iani. I hope I'm saying his name right. With a sign that says Jack Cassidy. He walks the length of the street, goes right to the rally.
It's not a local one, is it?
I couldn't tell.
Wouldn't be like right around the corner, would it?
Might be.
I'll be able to tell you. So I'll be able to tell you.
He goes among all the other people that are demonstrating and yells,
"I'm Jack Cassidy!"
And then runs across the street.
Mike Romero Show, suck a D.
Oh, dear.
So good job, Christian. But awesome. It's probably the most visually spectacular one we've seen.
Wow.
I can't
wait
far.
To see that one.
So good job, Christian.
We have a leader. Can I hear it one more time?
You can. And also, you
so
wanna...
he is in the middle of a right to life protest.
Yeah, he's surrounded by a few people that probably have other things on their mind than this.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm Jack
Cassidy. That is awesome.
I'm Christian Dignani, Mike Romero Show, suck a D.
So thank you, Christian. Good job.
Little bad boy.
Now,
that makes me laugh.
This comes from a listener named Michael Jackson, who is not the famous Michael Jackson.
Shamo.
But another one.
Yeah,
he had this idea. I actually recut it because his audio source was not as great, but he gets full credit. I laughed out loud. I screamed in my basement last night. Oscar, this one's for you.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Rainbow.
Because the thing is everyone, you know, when you've been in the business as long as we have, occasionally you come up with a catchphrase, and none delights me more than Oscar saying
boo.
Right.
And with you leaving us for, I think, 40 days and 40 nights.
We have it on tape.
We want to have him represented.
And you're getting your medical experiments tomorrow, right?
That's right.
So,
yes, I am.
So we're going to be without Oscar and Buzz tomorrow.
Boo.
So I'm going to do what I hate to do, which is I'm going to be a newsman tomorrow, and then we're going to keep the boo. So if ever anybody wants to. So how do you feel about that, Oscar?
Boo.
That's it. Nice. That'll be what we have.
Did you have a chance to see the Jew in the Box this morning?
I did. This is a big controversy. Is it Germany?
It's Berlin.
It's Berlin.
And
of course it's Berlin.
Apparently in all of Germany, there is about, I think, 80 million people and only 200,000 Jews.
It's ridiculous.
And so what they're doing is they're trying to expose.
Buzz.
Sorry.
Buzz.
Boo.
You shocked me.
How dare you.
So what they're doing is they did a display of trying to introduce Jewish culture to the German people. One of the elements of the display is a Jewish man sitting in a clear Lucite box, and this is them talking about that.
You're in a box.
I'm in an open box.
So does it feel weird to be sitting here?
It's still weird, but people have the privilege now to talk to someone.
And they talk.
Jewish people always stick together a lot.
Some approach nervously. The brainchild of curator Michal Friedlander, who says Jews in Germany often feel like a rare species under glass.
Somebody has said to me, I've never touched a Jew. May I touch you? There's always strange nervousness that happens. So we want to get over that.
I'm sorry. They're the one group of people that can't do this.
2013.
I'm sorry. You don't get away with this. This is racist on any level. I've looked at it from every side.
But even though the fact that it was the curator and the
it's
the
not
founder,
okay,
is a
Rob.
Jewish person.
Still...
No, I'm not saying it is. I'm just asking a question.
Jerk.
Follow-up question.
It's stupid.
Jeez.
And it's racist, and they are, and it's just I've never touched a Jew before. I mean, what, because they're a minority? You know, I mean, minorities, hasn't it been documented? They minorities, you know, this is not even including the discussion of World War II.
That's
I'm
true.
Talking about recent history with the problems that immigrants have had over in West Germany.
That's true.
Or and I call it West Germany, and now it's Germany.
Yeah.
But the fact is, this is a pretty messed up society.
We've made great strides, though. Some immigrants are now flying to China. We mentioned earlier that the Samoa Air is now charging you by weight.
Right.
Yes.
And just with that in mind.
Flight 57, now boarding first class, small children, and fat guys.
It's me.
Okay. Michael Bolton put an old rumor to rest on Access Hollywood. Did you
really?
Know it's always been said that he babysat Paula Abdul?
I never knew that.
I've heard that.
Not exactly true. Here's Michael Bolton settling this rumor.
Did you babysit Paula Abdul?
Her older sister went out with my guitarist. So we would go over to the house, and then we'd all be like, should we go out and eat or do something? But we couldn't leave Paula alone. She was too young.
How old was she?
10 maybe-ish, 10-ish. Wow. You know, so that's how later on the rumor started that I had babysat for her.
The rumor is that she jammed a pencil in her leg for attention. You had to take her to the hospital.
Still think that was just a ploy to get some ice cream. You know.
So he didn't deny that she did that.
Right, no. Right.
But I could see her doing that.
I could too.
Yeah, yeah. She got all woozy when she did it.
Yeah, needed drugs.
And then she ate so much ice cream they had to stretch her video out. You remember what was that? The promise of a new day when they made her really long?
Yeah, it's very
video?
Strange.
Yeah,
yes.
That was easier than losing weight. phone.
Somebody's at the. Somebody's on the line here. Hold on. Let me see. Give it another ring.
Oh, okay.
Usually we have two. Hello?
Hi, this is Michael Bolton, wishing you all the very best this holiday season.
What holiday?
The coming
Michael?
New Year.
What do you mean?
I don't
know. You do that around Christmas time, Michael.
he's confused.
He's just slow.
Michael Bolton.
Maybe he's early.
Now, he seems to want to be calling back. I'm not sure.
Does he?
Hello, O'Mara.
Hi, this is Michael Bolton, wishing...
Thank you.
We had a couple good April Fool's jokes online than that.
Yes.
One that did not really do that well was Lindsay Lohan tweeting that she was pregnant.
Right.
I didn't even know about it.
And see, that's...
Because she's becoming so irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason it was a bad April Fool's gig.
You see the bikini pictures of her down in Brazil?
Oh, I bet it looked like a disaster.
No, not really. Yeah. To be honest, there are two things. She actually was, she's got the guns that are just spectacular.
You expect the worst with her, though. So when you see something that's not completely sloppy, you're like, eh.
But she has what all true, nasty... there's a term that I use. I'll simply use the letters CGRW.
Yes, of course.
And she had bruises all over her thighs.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see that, you wonder, where did that? And I always think it's because she's staggering around and bumping into things.
Probably bumping into things.
Or like being abused
or being
in some way.
Remember
into.
When we used to go to New York City? I used to wake up with bruises.
Yeah,
I didn't remember.
Some of my my best nights, I've had a bruise. I had no idea how I got it.
All right, Lindsay Lohan, not really pregnant.
A lot of people say to me, Dave, what's up with Lindsay Lohan? I'll tell you what, she's pregnant.
Oh,
yep. Did you hear? She's pregnant. No. I thought she was just late for court. No, it's true. Today, somebody spotted her shoplifting Pampers.
And that, like that, is your Magic Audio Vault.
Thank you, Rob. We'll take a break. Come back with Buzz and the news on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Boo.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's my favorite tape.
Trying to get him in trouble.
That'll be an interesting edit with Rob cackling through the entire break. Are you going to have fun with that one?
No, not at all.
That'll be a lot of fun. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's not waste any time. Get him in here. How do you feel about that, Oscar?
Oh, hold on. Oscar doesn't like
it.
Thank you. That'll be 7 days of that.
It will.
Seven shows.
America will love it.
Anyway.
It's going to be fine.
Let it go.
Seven
let it go.
Shows. Let's get Buzz in here. Buzz, take it away.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page. Right now, you can save up to 70% on jewelry and watches just in time for Mother's Day, Father's Day, and graduations. If kicks are more your thing, now save up to 60% on athletic shoes. Save money and support the show. The banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com takes you right to your account. Listen for home, school, work, or church. Shop through MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon.
You know, I buy my James Lipton beard coloring through that now.
That's the best way.
Yeah, I got tired of the look that I would get from the young people at the CVS. It'd be kind of like a... So now I get it online.
Can you get
Amazon.
Can you get a huge amount of it on
I did.
Amazon?
Oh, I did. I got it cheaper, and I bought it in bulk and hit it up in my bedroom very quickly.
Gallon,
my wife doesn't even
gallon jugs, and it's more discreet.
Discreet.
And when I put that on, as soon as it takes, the color takes, I always look at my wife and say, what is your favorite sound? No, I'm sorry. That's a James Lipton joke.
What turns you on?
What turns you on?
Your paycheck is shrinking. People here in the exactly, Oscar. People here in the D.C. area.
Jesus.
Generally... You know, it participates more. People here in the D.C. area generally make more money than people in other parts of the country, but paychecks are shrinking here and around the country. In the past year, paychecks have shrunk by $10 a week. That's the average. In some local counties, we're talking about $7 a week less. In others, nearly $60 a week less.
Mm-hmm.
The reason? Companies are ditching older, more expensive workers in favor of younger workers who are willing to work for less.
Hi, I'm Mike O'Mara.
Companies say they have to do this in order to stay in business.
That did ring a bell.
Hello, I'm Mike O'Mara. I'd like you to meet Chad Dukes. Thank you very much.
If you didn't want them to think, you shouldn't have given them library cards. In California, law school graduates are now suing the schools that educated them because despite their expensive educations, they're unable to find work. After spending $40,000 on tuition, they find themselves folding shirts at Macy's.
What you know, it's still, you get your education, you still go to a cocktail party, have a good time.
Yeah.
If you're educated, you can have better conversations, you know?
Exactly.
It's got a value. you.
Is Todd still hiring?
No.
Katie got that job.
Hiring is closed.
I'm sorry.
In Atlanta, teachers, principals, and other educators are turning themselves into police after being charged with changing test scores so they could earn bonuses. The district's former superintendent apparently collected $500,000 in bonuses by rewarding educators who helped with the scam and punishing those who refused to take part.
Fat, lazy, scum of the earth. Garbage human beings. Absolute garbage human beings. They're probably not going to get all that heavy punishment on this. They're going to lose their jobs and things like that. But these people, to me, are just the lowest of the low. Absolutely.
Well, not as low as Wall Street, but pretty low.
Pretty low.
Absolutely. Four of the teachers facing charges have gone missing now.
And in sting?
Yeah, it was a scam, Mike.
There you go. It's a sting operation.
$500,000. Robert Shaw was behind it.
Not the only one. Mm-hmm. In El Paso, Texas, the public schools turned into diploma mills, cranking out students with diplomas, whether they got an education or not. That district's superintendent has now been arrested as well.
That's known as the VCU method.
Yeah, you're fine.
It's disgusting is what it is.
It is. Right. And you know why it's disgusting, Oscar? It's disgusting because at the end of the day, the people that manufacture, that create, that invent, that innovate, all these people have to get an education, and they have to get a proper education,
because
right. They're not going to be able to give us this in this country. They're not going to be able to make countries grow. We're in a technological world now, and we're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. And these educators, this is why I'm against things like tenure, and I believe that teachers should be held to higher standards, and at the same time, we should pay them a hell of a lot more, so this temptation does not exist.
Right.
It's such an amazing, epic failure of our system. It really is sad.
Well, now the dangerous game between the U.S. and North Korea continues. North Korea says it will restart a nuclear facility that's capable of cranking out one nuclear weapon a year. North Korea has also declared itself in a state of war with South Korea. And in the latest development, North Korea shut down an industrial complex that employed nearly 1,000 South Koreans. The U.S., meanwhile, is moving more stealth fighter jets, bombers, and warships into the region, mostly to remind North Korea not to do anything foolish. And Secretary of State John Kerry made it clear yesterday the U.S. will not accept North Korea as a nuclear state, even though it already is.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the tunnel that the guy was in this morning on the Today Show, that they had actually dug a tunnel years ago?
To try to get North Korean soldiers across the border to attack?
That they could move 30,000 in an hour?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Scary.
They learned that on Hogan's Heroes.
They did. Kinch built it.
Connecticut lawmakers today.
Newkirk.
While those lawmakers in Connecticut passed the country's toughest gun control law in the wake of the Newtown tragedy, President Obama will travel to Colorado to praise its new gun control laws and to keep pushing for new federal laws.
Maybe he'll see the Diaz boys.
Because they're traveling the world.
Cross paths. The proposed federal laws.
Going to the farm.
Proposed federal laws are losing steam. The drive toward new federal gun control laws losing steam, even though a vast majority of Americans favor universal background checks and limits on high-capacity ammo magazines. That momentum has been undercut by the NRA, which once favored those background checks. The NRA is, in the wake of Newtown, proposing more guns in schools, even though it's been forced to drop its idea of letting volunteers pack heat in the hallways. The NRA does, however, want armed security at every school in the country. Another Republican lawmaker announced he has a gay son, but this lawmaker says that does not change his opposition to gay marriage.
There you go. Yeah. I'm a big a-hole. Yeah. I'm an a-hole. I don't really love my son. I love my country first.
Gay marriage is a bad outfit.
And he didn't come to rehearsal.
Arizona Republican Matt Salmon.
Now, really, you want to go right there?
I couldn't help myself.
I corrected myself.
I know you did.
That's
thank you.
Right.
Matt Salmon says he's not budging, even though Republican Rob Portman of Ohio, who also has a gay son, says he's now open to gay marriage. And now a Republican governor's come out in favor of gay marriage. That's Illinois' Mark Kirk. Now, finally, in 1930s Philadelphia, Sam Sherman got the nickname Chink because of his almond-shaped eyes. A lot of Americans were still okay with that word back then, even though it's a racial slur aimed at Asians. Sam went on to open a steakhouse there in Philly in 1949, which he, of course, named Chinks. But now, finally, after all these years in 2013, with Sam long gone, the restaurant has changed its name to Joe's. It's now Joe's Steakhouse, despite a petition drive to keep the name Chinks. We should make a road trip there someday. maybe after a Redskins game. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
That was very pointed sociological commentary there, Mr. Burbank.
I don't like the word Joe.
I know. Thank you, bro. You know he couldn't get out of here without saying something.
What do you mean, Joe?
That's what he does. The family legacy.
Do you like Charlie?
Yeah,
Charlie's good.
There you go. That's it. We got to get out of here. Our show today was brought to you by Encore Insurance Services. They are responsible
they
for
are.
So many nice things with our wonderful program here. They're the reason we're on WTNT, and they'll work for you. They'll compare rates. Give them a call. Please do that, and do it this week for us and for them. 866-347-5748. Won't cost you any money, and it really helps them, and it helps the show as well. You, sir, have a wonderful trip to China.
Yeah.
Sure.
Call us when you can, be it Skype or whatever. We'd love to hear from you over there. But don't get in trouble and try to get locked up in the process of doing it.
Midnight Express.
Oscar will be in Hong Kong and Beijing next week, and he'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow. Buzz will be back hopefully on Friday.
We hope so, yes.
And we will have a new show for you tomorrow. Have a great one, and we'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.